a Super Bowl champion.
The Green Bay Packers have won the Super Bowl.
The Packers' all-time leading scorer.
A game winner for Mason Crosby.
It's time for the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network. Powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook and on the free Odyssey app.
Dude, Mason Crosby thinks he is the funniest kicker of all time.
It's Friday, guys. It's Friday.
You're the funniest producer of all time.
Oh, so hey, guys,
this is garbage I need to work with every day.
Oh, I just came up the stairs, man. It's tough. Yeah.
How are your calves?
No show more humble.
That's for sure. This Kentucky Santa Clara game, by the way, is drunk. Like is it? It is. Just back and forth chaos.
Oh yeah, I'm watching
it
right
now. And I'm here for it.
All right,
let's go Santa Clara. Couldn't happen to a nicer team. Let's see if they can.
I'm all in for Texas Tech now, obviously. So that's
they play basketball at Texas
Tech? That's my dark horse. Yeah,
I thought it was football only.
No, they pay everybody. No, they have those deep pockets. They're throwing money everywhere.
They paid their softball team. That's for sure. Remember that?
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Our thanks to Nick Olson for jumping on the show. We will give props to the Wisconsin women's hockey team. We know that they are the best ever, and they should be respected.
They're unreal,
for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely a reasonable shout-out, and I appreciate you drawing that, bringing that to our attention. In the wake of
Cary and Tulsa.
Our basketball, the men's basketball team falling short against High Point, there's a high point for this Badgers athletic program.
I was just throwing
and that is the women's hockey team.
Joining us now on the guest hotline, powered by Gruber Law One Call. That's all. Friend of show, Cheesehead TV's own Aaron Nagler.
Gentlemen, I don't know how you go to work every day with that intro. Mason Crosby, the most incredible human ever in the history of man.
I mean,
have to come in like some slow.
Yes.
And we're here. We're here too.
I know. Like seriously, out. I wish. Like I always tell my wife, I'm like, hey, can you intro me into every room I walk into?
Whatever door I walk through, I want that play.
I have offered Mr. Crosby
just to walk
be your personal valet and walk around with you, introducing you into every room you walk into. So far, my efforts have been rebuffed. But I will not stop with that as an open offer for all
time. I like to try to sneak into spaces sometimes, Mitch. I remember what you did at the Potawatomi Sportsbook when I was sitting there having a nice thing. You know, just started drawing all the attention around.
So. Oh, my God, is that Mason Crosby?
Is that Mason Crosby over there?
A scenario where Mitch is the angel on the left shoulder of Mason,
sure,
and I am the devil on the right side, I think, in a way. Or and it's more of just
man right there.
It's the inner voices, absolutely. I think, just
that's
going
right
at them. Yeah.
Sure.
Yes. How are we doing, Aaron?
We're doing well. How are you guys doing? You know, I'm not so involved in the whole March Madness thing. Like, I fill out a bracket, but as long as there's basketball on in the afternoon, I can have a few beers, I'm fine. I'm not really invested in it, but it feels like the state of Wisconsin is really going through it after yesterday.
Yeah, they are.
That's how it feels. And
I like your mindset. Yeah, I mean, how nice is it? You can literally put up a 4 multi-view
quad
screen
box,
of all these games rolling for the next, we're at 1 o'clock. It's going to be for the next 9 hours. So
deep into the night, yes. I went to see a friend's band play last night here in New York, and then I came back home and there were still games on. Like, that's pretty sweet. You got to love that. You're coming home at, like, midnight, and there's still basketball on your television. Pretty great.
Well, hey, we're going to shift gears a little bit because – if not, we're all just going to kind of go into a spiral of depression with, we don't want everybody feeling so sad all day. But let's talk about this Packers team and the official coaching staff being established, some of the roles, anything you didn't know was going to be the case or surprised about, but like, you know, what do you think of this staff that's been built by Coach LaFleur?
The fact that there are 27 of them is just incredible to
what?
Me. I mean, even back, like, you think about Holmgren's staff, I think they had, like, 12 dudes, 13 guys, something like that. Lombardi's staff had, like, 6 guys or something along those lines. And now we've got 27 guys on staff. Which
you got a coach for every 3 players. It's one.
I mean, pretty much.
Crazy.
Speaking of your ballywick, they got 3 special teams coaches. I mean, I know that you specialists, you need a lot of attention. But 3? I don't know, man. I guess hopefully
Mason,
that means
you would have
we
crushed,
won't have any.
If there were 3 guys when you were there, you would have taken one, and like he would have been your valet.
Yeah, well, yeah. They would have been. We would have had some, yeah, there would have been a structural, like, balancing act of, like, all right,
yes.
Like, where does this, how do we interact in this space, and, like, how, yeah, what works out here? Because, yeah, that feels like too many guys in one space.
It feels like a lot of dudes, yeah. I will say, the one thing that did jump out to me when it got released yesterday, and you asked about, like, most of this stuff we've got reporting on, right? Like, yeah. So most of these names we've heard throughout the course of the last couple months, et cetera. The naming of two separate assistant head coaches is something I didn't see coming. As far as Luke Getsy on offense,
how do you have two assistant head coaches?
That feels like you've none. If you have two, you have none.
It's like when you have too many quarterbacks. It's like the Vikings with quarterbacks. You know, you have all these quarterbacks.
You have no quarterback. You have none.
Is that kind of the? Is that like the trick? LaFleur's like, okay, they're not like we're just giving titles, but I'm gonna maybe have two so that neither one of them actually has any real secondary power.
It's funny you mention that, because when I saw that DeMarcus Covington was the assistant head coach defense, right? That's a guy who did get interviews to be a coordinator this offseason, right? Yeah. And obviously, from what I can remember, there was no reporting about him even getting a second interview or being a finalist for a job. But perhaps that is LaFleur trying to guard against, you know, flight on his staff, yeah, trying to make sure that he keeps him in-house, because he is a good coach. I think he did a very good job his first year in Green Bay. Going to be interesting now that he is the outside linebackers coach / assistant head coach defense,
and isn't he like run game coordinator, and like didn't he have like three or four titles?
The run game coordinator is there as well, which is very interesting. Especially, you got to remember too, with Gannon coming in as your defensive coordinator, it's an entirely different system. So how they're going to teach, what they're going to teach, is obviously going to be a bit different than what they've done the last couple seasons. But that's the other thing that really kind of jumped out to me, even through the last couple of months while we've seen the reports coming in, is how many guys, especially on defense, are past coordinators or even guys who have been interviewing for coordinator positions. Like, you know, they brought in Bobby Babich, who interviewed for the defensive coordinator spot here in Green Bay, the one that eventually went to Jeff Hafley, but he's a guy who has coordinated in the past. Yeah. So I do like that. You know, the idea that there are a lot of guys on staff who have at least some experience with how things fit together and why we are doing this so it fits with that, and like the rush has to marry with the coverage, etc. I just like that experience. I think that's a good thing.
Right now on the defensive side of the ball, like how that staff was constructed, like you're saying with the former coordinators, and was it one of the linebackers coach or D-line coach that was coordinator at Virginia Tech that they just brought him from, right? So that defensive staff feels very elite as far as the type of coaches that are
experienced.
Yeah,
no question about it. And I will say, there's a guy I do want to shout out is Vince Ogabasi, who was their assistant defensive line coach last year. He takes over that role this season. You know, it's only a handful, like a couple weeks there in training camp, but I get out to Green Bay and I watch every day as these guys are like kind of, you know, going through their drills and what they're putting these guys through. Ogabasi seems like a guy who the guys respond to. Like, he is very vocal, which is always fun if you're there and going through the drudgery of camp, but he really seems to have a good kind of finger on the pulse, so to speak. And look, that's an area where the Packers are going to need to squeeze every ounce of talent. We're only a couple weeks into free agency, so obviously there's a long way to go as far as what the roster is going to end up looking like. But man, this defense needs to be able to get after it up front. He's going to be a big component in getting that out of these guys.
Let's go.
What do you think of the rumors I saw, and kind of Covington was a piece of that, of this defense going to that 3-4, going back to a 3-4 defense?
It's funny you say that, because I've seen a lot of like content created around that kind of idea over the course of the last couple of days because of this release and the outside linebacker coach, etc. Man, Brian straight up told us this at the combine. He said there are going to be 3-4 aspects to this defense that we haven't seen in Green Bay for the last 2 years since Hafley's been in town, and they went to a 4-3 front, right? But I do think with Gannon in particular, it's going to be really multiple, right? Yes, there are going to be early down looks or base looks that have 3-4 principles, but that doesn't even mean they'll have 3 down linemen, but they'll be working off of those principles. So I do think it's going to look quite different. The one thing I'm really curious to see is how they kind of employ all of the safeties on hand, but specifically Xavier McKinney. you think about how much damage he did as far as turning the ball over his first year in Green Bay. Last year, those kind of dried up. I know he dropped a few, but it sure looked like teams were staying away from him. I got to think with Gannon and the way he's utilized that position, both in Arizona and in Philadelphia, I think he's a real X factor. I think he's a guy who they could move all over the place, and he could really kind of do some damage down by the line of scrimmage in a way that we didn't see a whole lot of under Halfley. He used him there a bit, but I do think, like, this is a lofty comparison, but you think about what Charles Woodson did going in and out and back and kind of going all over the formation.
Exactly.
He's got that ability. I'm not saying he's Charles Woodson, but he's got the ability to do a lot of different things and create havoc and headaches for the quarterback.
I got to throw this one out just because it made me chuckle. Nicolay Law fan talking text line 414 said, wanted to ask, is there a timeout coach or a clock management coach? Did they hire
literally
that?
Anyone who plays Madden. Literally anyone who plays Madden. Literally anyone who plays Madden is better than LaFleur.
I always get a good laugh because LaFleur, I think it was like 2 or 3 years ago, he had been on our show on Cheesehead TV, and I had given him grief about his clock management. And then the next week, he had messed something up clock management wise, and I didn't even ask about it, but he preemptively mentioned it because he's like, no, I know I messed up there. And I'm like, coach, I'm not even asking about it. But to be serious on the subject, it's obviously something that has been a recurring issue. I do think, you know, Connor Lewis is a guy who they have on staff who's up in the box during the games, who's supposed to be in LaFleur's ear. I do wonder how much he actually gets listened to, considering some of the botches we've seen over the year.
Well, there's
the
other, so many you only have like time
who's
for,
on
like,
the party line and exactly. I do always kind of look back on that final game in Lambeau 2 years ago where you saw that shot of Bisaccia and LaFleur on the sideline trying to line up that kick for McManus, and then they left way too much time for the Bears to come back and win it, which they did. And I always think, like, okay, so now we've got two assistant head coaches. Which one of those guys is he going to – was there so much on Bisaccia's plate that they needed to cut that role in half, the assistant head coach? And which one of them is going to be in his ear saying, okay, we need to take a timeout here, or we need to take this down? And like, who is going to be the guy telling him, all right, this is how you should play this?
Yeah, the hope is that he's seeing that he needs to – focus in on the management side of things, become like more of an overseeing CEO, and allow these guys to operate the offensive and defense a little more in their own paths. And then he's just going to oversee. Like, if that's the case, then it's a really, really wise decision, but it could also backfire. And it could be like, now I have to manage two coaches to see if to get them going the right direction.
The thing I keep coming back to, and this is again another lofty comparison, but it is apt, is you look at Andy Reid in Philadelphia. I mean, it was recurring as far as how many times in big moments in big games he would butcher clock management. I mean, he absolutely was roasted by the Philadelphia Eagle fan base and the media over and over and over again. And he's a guy who went on to win multiple Super Bowls, you know? And again, I'm not saying that's going to be Matt LaFleur automatically, but it just shows you that, sometimes it can take a while for these guys to get a handle on it.
Isn't that the funniest thing? Is like the chaos of like drawing a plays, like trying to go win a ball game, like for football guys and like guys that are like, they know the X's and O's and all that. That's the easy part. Like managing a game is the hardest part of a head coach's job.
And it's crazy to me because it's funny, this past season, I remember the Eagles game, the Monday Night Football game, which is so frustrating to watch. They're really stubbing their toe on offense. They, you know, finally scored there at the end, but everyone's got gunning for LaFleur, and it's really a kind of a tough moment in the season. And I went to the game here in New York against the Giants that next week, and I remember it really striking me exactly what you're talking about, as far as how many different things are going on each and every down, like guys in and out positionally, just how many, just trying to get that worked out, right? Making sure you've got the right personnel on the field. I mean, Mason, you know better than anybody as far as the chaos of a sideline. We sitting here on the outside looking at it like it is Madden, right? Like, I just press these buttons and guys get lined up and we're fine. Let's go. Come on. Why is this so hard? It's like when you have 53 humans that you're trying to like interject at the right spot and get there at the right time and manage that clock correctly. man, there are a lot of balls in the air. Now, he is paid handsomely to do exactly that.
That's his job, yeah.
Exactly. That is the gig, right? But it isn't as easy, I think, as a lot of fans try to make it out to be.
For sure.
Aaron Nagler joining us here on the guest hotline powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. Is it... We have not heard from Jonathan Gannon, right?
Not yet.
Is that weird?
Not in Green Bay. In every other NFL...
Cop out.
Every other NFL city, yes, it is. No, I made this joke, and Jason Wallers, who I consider a friend, he's the VP of communications there in Green Bay.
I did kind of tease him.
Yeah. Right. I did kind of tease him when the Seattle Seahawks won the Super Bowl, lost their offensive coordinator to a head coaching position, hired a new offensive coordinator, and made him available to the media all before the Packers made Jonathan Gannon available to the Green Bay press.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, how, what? And I get it. They're waiting for what happened yesterday, the release of the entire thing. They get all the guys, signed on the dotted line, etc. Now they'll most likely have the press availability for Gannon. We'll undoubtedly hear from LaFleur, but it's like we're all going to hear from LaFleur anyway at the owners' meetings. Mm. So
yeah, they never want to misstep and like backtrack. Like it's always you just want it all kind of set in stone, and then it's
as much as I can get frustrated by it, at least we don't have moments like the Ravens did.
It's consistent.
Like, maybe instead of
the
flying,
Packers don't do stuff.
Jonathan Gannon, he's taking the bus, you know? He's just trying.
He's still on the bus from Arizona. That makes sense.
He's hitching. He's hitching from Arizona.
He's cycling.
Oh, I just want fire in my gut, man. I just want fire in my gut.
We're riding the bus.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Who's riding the bus?
Aaron Nagler, Cheesehead TV, joining us here. Who's your dream prospect for the Packers?
Oh, man, in the draft, you know, the one kid I've seen on tape so far that I love is the center from Kentucky. I think his last name is Morton. That kid can play. And as my friend Billy Schmid pointed out, you talk about a guy who played on a bad football team and still played at a high level consistently week in and week out against any type of competition. That's a Packer type of player there.
I like that.
A billion, right? Totally. And I know they just signed Sean Ryan to an extension. I still think they find a center in this draft to try and commit to long term.
For sure.
Because, man, it has been a rough couple years here when you talk about letting Corey Linsley walk. And since they made that decision, God bless Josh Myers. I think he did what he could, but he certainly wasn't the answer, right? And then the idea of turning to Elton was a bit of a disaster. I mean, it's gotten worse and worse. So I think they need to address that position specifically in the draft, so they have somebody long-term that they're committed to as far as, yes, I think Sean Ryan is kind of a bridge, almost like we talk about bridge quarterbacks. I think he can be your bridge at center, but they got to find the guy.
In this draft, I've seen, I think, edge and corner. It's pretty deep at that during this draft. So, I mean, obviously going to go and try to shore up some of those. I don't know. How's the interior D-line position?
You say that.
You
got to
think, though,
like,
they're going to go at least grab one of those types of players.
You think that? I thought that last year, and they drafted two wide receivers. Like, yeah, I don't. That's what I always say to people. It's like we get so caught up in what we like and what we think they got to do, and we love these players. Hell, Cheesehead TV, we put out a draft guide every year. We have for 15 years. And I always joke.
Futile. Like, so you're like, why did I put all this effort into this?
We put all this work into this stuff, and then they go, and yes, Savion Williams. What? Like, we just, sure, okay, fine. So, yes, to answer your question, everybody that I know that covers the draft, and even some people who work in personnel in the NFL, have indicated that, there's a very good deep defensive tackle class on offer. And what is kind of nice from, again, the people I've talked to as far as what this draft is offering, where the Packers are picking, obviously no first-round pick, but they're on day two, that's the meat of it, right? That's where the best value, the best kind of types that the Packers need, whether it is tackle, defensive tackle, or corner. The corner thing is wild to me, though, because you think about Brian taking Jaire Alexander as his first ever draft pick, right? Then there was the Stokes pick. But outside of those two selections, it's been almost all late day three corners, seventh round corners. And then they had the addition of Nate Hobbs, which was an absolute flame out. I like the St. Juice signing. I think he is a quality player and can help them. But, man, that's a room that it's hard to listen to Brian say, oh, we don't need an overhaul there. Okay, I guess. But it's real hard to have a lot of confidence given the way those guys played last year at that position. That's something where I got to think they look at corner early.
Aaron, I got to ask you this question because I'm very curious at your response to it.
Uh-oh.
Do you think so far in free agency, and do you think that they're going to put more of an emphasis on special teams this year?
See, that's the
answer is no,
question.
Mason.
I know. I mean, I've had my answers on it. Like, obviously, like I know what it is there. We all kind of know what it is there, but I mean, they got Sky Moore. They got a corner that can play like as a good special teams guy.
Saint, who played a ton of special teams, right? Yeah.
He's gonna be starting week Neiman's like three, back, and they Welch never, yeah, we'll never see.
They
him
never
again.
Use him on teams.
No, they're never gonna use anybody on teams. Matt LaFleur does not believe in special teams. He just does not. It doesn't exist.
I don't
universe.
Think it exists in Green Bay.
Right.
I mean,
yeah. I mean, Mason, you know, I do think there is a case to be made both ways. I understand the frustrations with, oh, they haven't taken it seriously, quote unquote. But Brian is right. As far as over the course of the last 3 or 4 years, they have done more as far as special team specific signings.
Yeah.
Keeping guys when it comes to cutdown day. They have done way more of that than they ever did under Ted. That's for darn sure. The problem is, as you know, Thunder's pointing out, they haven't made a lot of those frontline guys available. It took 2 block kicks in weeks 3 and 4 for them to be like, oh, hey, maybe we should use our best guys on field goal protection. Genius.
Right.
And that's the thing that drives you insane.
It's just a visual thing, right? You can't beat guys up on that field goal like you used to. I understood my first couple years. I'm like, please don't get somebody hurt on my kick. But now it's like, If you got like your best guys up there, they're just gonna be like, well, we're not getting there. Like, why would we just run into a wall?
We're not gonna. You can't leverage. You can't do half the stuff. Yeah. Exactly. I will say the other frustrating part is, okay, you talk about Sky Moore, phenomenal. I'm so excited. If he has a muff in training camp, does he get cut?
Cut him.
Like that's the thing that blows my mind with Hardman last year. It's like it was the most obvious signing that made a world of sense, and then he had one bad preseason game, and you never saw him again. I just don't get
he
it.
He may have that not even. He might as well not even exist in our world.
Exactly.
Hey, let me give you a little inside. Thank you. So I was talking to Will Blackman the other day, and he told me something interesting. And this goes back to, you know, to McCarthy and like that group where McCarthy just wanted the ball back and as many shots at apple and as many bites at the apple as he could get. So he was literally like, well, just catch the ball, fair catch every punt. I don't even care. Right. Just do not muff it. Don't do all that. And then, you know, it's like, obviously he's a competitor and all that. And it's
Will
like,
is Will, so right?
He starts that way, then he catches it, but then he had some other advice by some older players that were just like, get 5.
Yeah,
then
just
get,
run you know, forward.
Get 10.
Just run forward and go
down.
Just
get a little bit. Don't get too like hungry, and then all of a sudden Will starts breaking them free. But it was like that was the original mindset, and that's where that coach mindset, and they put pressure on players, and they're just like, just catch the ball. Please just get us the ball
don't
back.
Do
they don't want to see – sometimes offensive coaches don't want to see special teams go off. They just want the ball back.
And I got a more recent example than Will Blackman, but did Ty Montgomery ruin this for everyone?
Okay. The fumble in L.A.?
Right, oh, the fumble in L.A. Fumble. Like, I feel like he ruined it for everyone.
LaFleur was like,
I'm done with special teams forever. You all suck.
So it's Ty Montgomery's me fence that led to we fence. Yeah, that's what it was right there.
Oh, that Ty Montgomery moment
forgot
was so
about,
tough.
I didn't forget
it's kind
about
of amazing.
It,
you talk about Will Blackman. I mean, think about the fact that, you know, Mike was telling him, just catch the ball. And someone said, oh, go ahead and get 5 yards. That guy ended up tied for the all-time franchise lead in punt returns for touchdowns.
Exactly.
Like him, Desmond Howard, and Micah Hyde. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, no doubt.
I do remember having a conversation with someone a couple years ago where they said the problem in Green Bay when it comes to special teams is this exact thing that you're talking about with McCarthy. It's like the entire kind of mindset is just don't screw it up. Just give me the ball back. Don't fumble.
That's it.
Like, just don't screw it up. as opposed to let's win on special teams.
Yeah.
Let's dominate on special teams. There is certainly none of that happening in Green Bay.
I love that.
Well, yep. Aaron Nagler, you did not screw it up. You won this segment. Thank you so much for jumping on the show. This was awesome. We'll definitely talk to you soon as we get closer to the draft. But thanks so much, Aaron Nagler, Cheesehead TV. Follow him on all the socials. Cheesehead TV does an amazing job. And Aaron, we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Thanks so much for having me, guys.
Take care. Absolutely. Have a great weekend. Aaron Nagler on the guest hotline powered by Gruber Law. One call. That's all. When we come back, we're either going to sign him to an extension or we're going to trade him. Who are we talking about?
Mason Rodgers.
Mason. Oh.
Wait, nice. What? No.
By the way, this basketball game is absolutely insane.
I've seen the updates. It is drunk.
It has been crazy. This is the Mason Crosby Show.